Good morning. I'm Commissioner Kristen Ang, Alliance Co-Chair and Port of Tacoma Commission President. I'm calling to order the Managing Member Special Meeting of April 2nd, 2024. The Managing Members will now meet in executive session to discuss two items. One, to review the performance of a public employee as allowed by RCW 42.30.110(1)(g), and two, to discuss with legal counsel representing the agency litigation or potential litigation to which the agency is or likely to become a party. Executive session is expected to end at 10:45 a.m. Immediately following, we will hold a closed session permissible under Federal Maritime Commission regulation and related laws found at 46 U.S.C. Section 40306, 46 CFR Section 538.608, and 535.701(I)(1), and as authorized by the Federal Maritime Commission Agreement under 201228, which is the Port of Seattle, Port of Tacoma Alliance Agreement. Action is anticipated during the public meeting that follows based on a portion of these closed discussions. We will reconvene in public session at 11:30 a.m. We are now in recess. Good morning. I'm Kristen Ang, Northwest Seaport Alliance Co-Chair and Port of Tacoma Commission President. Today is April 2nd, 2024, and the time is 1:15 p.m. I'm calling the regular meeting of the Northwest Seaport Alliance Managing Member back to order. This is also a special meeting for the Port of Tacoma and Port of Seattle Commission as to item 9C on today's agenda. Present with me today are Port of Seattle Commissioners Muhammad, Commissioner Fellman, and Commissioner Hasegawa is remote. Commissioner Calkins and Cho are absent and excused. Port of Tacoma Commissioners present are Commissioners Keller, McCarthy, Marzano, and Meyer. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Our next agenda item is the CEO report. However, both CEO Wolf and Deputy CEO Easterbrook are traveling on behalf of the Alliance today, attending an international summit with other West Coast port executive directors promoting our gateway to potential international customers. So I am going to call on our General Counsel, Dana Henderson, to provide the report.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. There are three items for action today: the master benefit and salary resolution on a second reading, the 2024 incentive programs, and an interlocal agreement between all three entities on an economic impact analysis. We will then follow on the agenda for a grants briefing. In terms of the CEO report, we are pleased to report that last week the Alliance had a successful vessel operation at Terminal 46, where the Triumph Ace offloaded 1,680 Kia vehicles destined for U.S. domestic market, which will be then trucked to Tacoma for finish vehicle processing. This is the first time in 29 years that Kia autos destined for the U.S. market have discharged in Seattle. Shifting to Terminal 5, last Thursday we had a successful shore power plug-in at Terminal 5, testing the system, which was completed on March 21st. The MSC Lily was successfully plugged in, and SSA has been invoiced for rent for phase two at Terminal 5, with rent commencement as of March 21st. Finally, we wanted to report on the American Association of Port Authorities Spring Conference in Washington, D.C. in March. There were a number of successful meetings with senators and congressional offices, where staff provided a briefing on our PIDP and Clean Ports grants. John wanted to extend his thanks to Commissioners Keller and Fellman for their leadership and participation in that meeting. This concludes John's report.
Thank you. Dana. We are now at public comment. Comments are welcome on general meeting, general managing member business, or specific agenda items. Speakers are limited to 3 minutes per speaker. I have a list before me. When I call your name, please go to the microphone at the table and state your name and the agenda item you wish to speak to. I see the names on the list. If you'd like to have a couple extra minutes, that's also fine. The first one on the list is Eric Wright from Portland Container.
Is my mic on?
Yes.
Good morning. My name is Eric Wright. I am the Senior Manager of Business Development for Portland Container. Last time I was before this body, I noted the critical and urgent need for stable and consistent five working day per week truck gates. We need a solution. We need it now, but we also need a long-term plan. Our gateway faces many challenges, both competition inside and outside the Puget Sound, and it's fierce and without remorse. The competition between Seattle and Tacoma stretches back to 1887, when the Northern Pacific Railway chose Tacoma over Seattle. It is, however, my hope that Northwest Seaport Alliance will be successful in its support and its mission to join the two harbors to make us a highly performing gateway. This may mean at times that we need to asymmetrically support individual harbors based off of market forces. We do not and likely cannot beat Canada, LA, or maybe even Savannah. We, however, can do it better. We need to do it better. As a citizen of this state, I need you to help me do it better. My livelihood and the livelihood of so many depend on it, and so do the consumers. There are as many thoughts about what to do next as there are fish in the sea. I've heard many of them. In the end, importers and exporters may be the mechanism that gets us to stable gates, predictable gates, and a fluid gateway. There are lessons to be learned from our neighbors to the north and to the south, but we are unique, and what we do is unique. We have unique geography. We have unique commodities. We are unique. And for clarity, what I'm saying is plug and play does not, will not, cannot work here. It must also be true that when somebody meets a prescribed service level, or rather does not meet a prescribed service level, that the trucker, importer, or exporter cannot be made to suffer an economic loss because of that. We see this every day. We are given appointments, we show up for appointments, and we are not serviced within our appointment window. That cannot be the standard that this gateway sets. Additionally, steps taken or plans made should never incentivize or permit risk management to the point of creating new constraints at the terminals. This is incredibly important as you consider the next steps and what will happen. I'd like to thank you for your time today. I look forward to hearing your public debate on these matters and hearing you express your personal thoughts and feelings on what we should do next. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wright, for informing us. Next on the list is Matt Ventosa from ILW.
There we go. Thank you. Good afternoon. I'm Matt Ventosa, the Vice President of the International Longshore Warehouse Union Local 19 in Seattle. Thank you for allowing me this time to speak this morning. I would like to thank John, Don, and Jeff, who's in attendance today, and the Seaport Alliance, and the team of Tong, Robert Meyer, and Andre, and all of the commissioners at the Seaport Alliance, as well as anyone else that I may have missed, for all of your time and effort to bring another car ship to the North Harbor in Seattle. We look forward to more of this diversification of cargo in Seattle, and we thank you for that. I would also like to point out that about the incentive program today on the agenda, I rise in support of this and would also like to point out that with our new collective bargaining agreement, we have the ability, if the employers choose, to start at 6 a.m. in the morning. This was bargained to give more flexibility to allow trucks in and out of the yards expeditiously, and in turn will help the trucking community to be able to come in and get containers moving earlier than ever before. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ventosa. If there is anyone else in the audience wishing to provide a comment at this time that is not signed up, please approach the microphone and when recognized, state your name and the agenda topic you wish to. Well, seeing none, thank you. That concludes public comment portion of our meeting. There are no work groups today, or at least some work groups briefings. Today's consent agenda contains the following items: 8A, approval of the minutes from the March 8th, 2024 meeting; 8B, approval of the check 712355 through 712512, and electronic payments, and combined the total amount of $18,221,001.81 during the period of February 24, 2024 through March 20, 2024, as certified by the Northwest Seaport Alliance Auditor. AC, additional project authorization in the amount of $635,000 for a total authorized amount of $725,000 for the PCT Strad Maintenance Bay Roof Replacement Project, Master Identification Number 201191.01. Consent agenda items are taken up by one motion for a vote without discussion or debate, unless any commissioner requests an item be pulled for separate consideration. Are there any requests to remove items from consent? If no, okay. Hearing none, do I have a motion and second to approve the consent agenda?
Second.
It has been moved by Commissioner Meyer and seconded by Commissioner Keller to approve the consent agenda. All those in favor of approving the consent agenda, say aye.
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 Consent agenda approved. That concludes consent actions, bringing us to regular action items. Dana.
Thank you, Co-Chair Ng. Our first action item today is the second reading of the Master Benefits and Salary Resolution, Resolution 2024-05. Our presenters are Gene West, Chief Human Resources Officer, Tricia Perez, Human Resources Manager, and Jenny Ann Kalin, Human Resources Manager.
Good afternoon. This is the second reading for our request for authorization to adopt Resolution 2024-05, the Master Benefits and Salary Resolution, superseding Resolution 2023-03 and all prior Master Benefit and Salary Resolutions. The Northwest Seaport Alliance managing members are authorized by RCW 53.08.170 to create and fill positions, establish salary ranges, and establish benefits for employees by resolution. The MBSR is a resolution by which the managing members charge the chief executive officer with the administration of the benefit and salary programs for non-represented employees, including the administrative details. Over time, the MBSR has been used as a repository for details that should otherwise be included in policy and procedure documents, such as when to take a holiday that falls on a Saturday or Sunday. In the proposed MBSR, we are removing the administrative details from the MBSR and maintaining them in HR policies and procedures. And since the first reading, we have also added advance notice of any program changes will be presented to the managing members. For benefits mandated by local, state, and federal law, we are removing program details and replaced with the following paragraph. The Alliance will comply with and offer access to all federal, state, and locally mandated benefits, including but not limited to Washington paid sick leave, Washington paid family medical leave, military leave, and occupational injury leave. Mandated benefits will be included in HR policy and procedures. In the definitions, we have reorganized to include individual definitions of relevant terms such as employee, full-time slash part-time, regular slash temporary. These were previously combined in all manners under employee status. We removed definitions for chief human resource officer and dependent status and added definitions for exempt, non-exempt, and non-graded positions.
So our current compensation and classification system has been in place 10 years, and each classification is assigned one salary range. This is a very normal and traditional system. What we found is that over that time that we've been using it, and especially more recently, that it doesn't allow us to respond to changes in market salaries without having to reclassify a job when the job really hasn't changed. So in 2023, we retained a consultant to help us review all of our job classifications, as well as conducting a market survey for our salaries for our positions. We collaborated with this consultant to adopt a new classification and compensation system that now separates the way jobs are classified from the salary ranges. It allows for the classifications to have more than one salary range attached to it, and so that we can account for differences in market pay for those positions within the same classification. So our next slide shows our current structure on the left, the 9 different classification levels that we are moving to in the middle, and on the right-hand side, 18 different pay grades that we will be using, or salary ranges that we will be using. We also are asking for a cost of labor adjustment. The salary ranges for non-represented employees are reviewed annually and adjusted based on current market salary data and trends. And these annual adjustments enable the Alliance to maintain competitive wages for our workforce. So we are requesting a 3% cost of labor adjustment to the non-represented salary ranges. This is reflected in the table a couple of slides back, as well as in the MBSR. And there is no financial impact due to this adjustment to the salary ranges. So we are requesting the action of the second reading of the Master Benefits and Salary Resolution number 2024-05, and this will supersede resolution 202303 and all prior master salary and benefit and salary resolutions.
Do I hear a motion and a second to adopt this resolution?
Second.
It has been moved by Commissioner Marzano and seconded by Commissioner Mohammed. Are there any questions, comments by my commissioners? Commissioner Meyer. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm looking at the new salary grid, and I'm just trying to make certain I understand what's happening here. So when I look at, I'm looking at page 8 on our attachment, and just so I'm really puzzled by this classification level and how that relates to the normal movement of individuals across that salary range. So am I reading this right, where if you're currently classified at level 13, but you have an MG2 classification, that MG2 classification would allow you to bump up to level 14? Is that correct?
What we did was we changed the system. Our consultant reviewed all of our job descriptions, and we changed to a new classification system, which is in the middle. So we now have classification systems PR1 through MG4, okay? And within each of those classifications, there can be positions which entail more than one salary range. And that's the flexibility that this provides for us. So our employees have shifted from the classification on the left, which is the C's and D's and E's, to the one that says the P's through M's.
I don't think you answered my question.
Okay.
My question is, if MG2 is currently at a level 13, and you got an MG2 at a level 14, does that automatically imply that the current position at 13 is eligible to be reclassified to level 14?
One of the things that has that I've used to explain this to employees is that the classification is based on the tasks of the job. Those are the things that the work the job does, the level of supervision it provides as well as receives, the level of independence in decision making, education, and experience required to do the work. So that would be the PR1 is the more routine work, all the way up to the MG4, which is the non-routine precedent-setting work that is done. And so you have jobs classified in those 9 levels. In theory, any job in any one of those classifications could be placed in any one of the salary ranges based on how the market rate for similar work compares to the midpoint of those salary grades, those 18 salary grades that are there. So if we had a job that came into market, or that the market rate comes back and tells us that it is $132,000 in the market, we would look at the midpoints and find out which midpoint is closest. And I believe we would place this one in grade 9 with the 139 midpoint. So jobs are placed in salary ranges based on the market rates for similar work. So it is possible that if an MG2 had a market rate of something similar to a grade 13, yes, it could be placed there.
Okay,
it could also be placed in 4.
That's what I'm looking for, because I think that's a big change. But what I'm concerned about is any of these changes, you do annual reviews, so I'm assuming they're performance-driven, where performance acceptable performance is required for any change going from a 13 to 14, I'm assuming.
We wouldn't change jobs or change the salary ranges based on performance. We would only change that based on what the labor market is paying for similar work.
So what you're telling me is the market adjustment is built into this new classification. So we shouldn't have to pay additional money for a market adjustment?
So what, number one, is when we did this classification and they classify each position, the consultant assigned a salary range to each of those positions based on what the market is doing, you know, what the market's paying for that position. And that's how the salary ranges are assigned to each position.
But yet at the same time, the flexibility that you're talking about with this new grid allows you to basically move a position up to a higher level.
To a higher salary range if the market so calls for it, yeah.
And as a part of our compensation program, we do have market adjustments that we look at. And that's more to move people through the range, the salary range from minimum to maximum, rather than changing the grade.
What I'm concerned about is where an individual basically gets to the maximum of their range and then all of a sudden they're promoted up to another level.
No, it's,
that's my main concern.
No, it's based on market.
Thank
market
you for
pay.
Your time.
Commissioner McCarthy.
Esty. First of all, thank you. And I want to thank the body for allowing a second reading of this resolution because it allowed us to make some needed corrections and clarifications to the Port of Tacoma original resolution, and the Alliance relies on the Human Resource Department of the Port of Tacoma. So by allowing that second reading, it allowed some clarification, which is helpful. And I think from even though we're turning over to the administration much of the responsibility in determining benefits, we've had some discussions to assure that there's transparency. If there are changes in benefits, that transparency to this body before those benefits would change. And other than that, I'm not quite sure, like Commissioner Meyer, if I totally understand what the ramifications are going to be with regard to this chart, but I appreciate your work. Thank you.
Well, seeing no other further questions or comments, I just want to thank the HR team for going over this very thoroughly with us here at the Seaport Alliance and at the Port of Tacoma. The motion before us is to adopt Resolution 2024-05, the Master Benefits and Salary Resolution, superseding Resolution 2023-03, and all prior Master Benefit and Salary Resolutions. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Commissioner?
Aye.
Okay. Motion passes.
Thank you.
Thank you. And down to 9B.
Okay. Our next topic is the 2024 Cargo Incentive Program. I should correct that. Cargo Incentive Programs. Steve Belaski, our Director of Business Development, and John Tellis, Senior Business Development Manager, will be presenting. Oh, and Jeff Bellarude, Chief Operations Officer, and Tong Zhu, Chief Strategy and Commercial Officer.
This work? Okay. Good afternoon, Commissioners. I thought this year, the year of the dragon, would be a better year for us and smoother ride for us compared to the last few years. Well, it doesn't seem to be the case. 2024 presents a sea of uncertainty for the container shipping industry, just like what we experienced in the previous years. as a discretionary report, I think Eric earlier called that out as well. We face unique and, quite frankly, greater challenges comparing to other ports, Southern California ports, or ports north of us. In order to stay competitive, our local market is only 20% of what LA and Long Beach represent. So it's really 8 million versus 40 million consumer. Which means we are highly dependent on discretionary cargo in the form of international IPI, rail cargo, or transload cargo through our gateway. What does that mean? That means we have to find a way to differentiate ourselves by offering better services or best-in-class services, offering efficient logistics and attractive facilities at a reasonable and competitive rates. The comprehensive incentive programs you'll hear about really has three parts to it. The first part has to do with international container rail cargo incentive. The second and the third parts, two components, are all about driving up our service delivery, improve our service delivery. The first one is voyage consistency and on-time arrival award, and then third one is expanded gate hours program. We'll be making three separate requests, and with that, I will ask Steve to go through the details of the first two components.
Thank you, Tong. Good afternoon, commissioners. My name is Steve Belaski. I'm the Director of Business Development for the Northwest Seaport Alliance, and I'm here to provide an overview of the proposed 2024 Northwest Seaport Alliance incentive programs and request your authorization to implement and fund these programs. As Tong mentioned, there are three standalone proposed initiatives that we will be discussing. That said, we believe, collectively, they are aligned with the objectives to both increase container cargo volumes at the Northwest Seaport Alliance and improve overall service levels. I will be providing some background, and then we will share key details about each program. I will go over the rail incentive, John will discuss the voyage consistency program, and Jeff will be explaining the expanded gate hour initiative. So with that, if we could go to the first slide. Okay. The action we're requesting this afternoon is that managing members of the Northwest Seaport Alliance authorize three cargo incentive programs and approve funding for each of those three programs at the initial levels as identified below. The first is the International Container Rail Cargo Incentive Program at an initial level of $8 million. The second is the Voyage Consistency and On-Time Arrival Award Program at an initial level of $1 million and an expanded Gate Hours Program at an initial level of $1 million. With a little bit of background here, the 2024 incentive program concepts were informed and developed based on current market conditions, feedback from our carrier customers, as well as results from previous incentive programs. Through these programs, we seek to protect rail market share, encourage incremental increases in intermodal rail volumes, while also encouraging consistent international ocean container service levels. Consistent, efficient, and reliable service levels, we believe, make the Northwest Seaport Alliance gateway more attractive by improving the overall supply chain performance. It builds confidence with our customers and offers a strong business case to justify increasing volume allocations to our gateway. The most immediate opportunity for discretionary volume growth is via import intermodal rail, which is addressed by our first program. At the same time, the Northwest Seaport Alliance seeks longer-term industry behavior change by awarding and incentivizing reliable and consistent ocean services, which is addressed by the second program. And thirdly, we recognize that trucker experience and reliable gate hours are crucial to our success. And as such, we seek approval for a program addressing that need. And as you'll recall, in 2023, we did offer an intermodal rail incentive program, and we wanted to just summarize some key results from that program. The initial funding authorized was $3 million, and it generated over 54,000 lifts. And I would note that this represented a significant portion of our overall international cargo in 2023, roughly 15%. So we had all 12 of the ocean carriers that service our gateway signed up to participate, and six of those carriers had incremental volumes qualifying for incentive reimbursements. And while the incremental volume lifts were modest as a whole, of the six carriers that did participate, their year-over-year growth averaged about 30%. So I'll now touch on the proposed rail International Container Rail Cargo Incentive Program summary. This is a per-lift incentive payment of $100 per lift for incremental year-over-year increases in international container rail volume measured on aggregate rail lifts of an ocean carrier at the Northwest Seaport Alliance. Eligible inland rail ramp locations include all intermodal inland ramp locations served by and or operated by the BNSF and Union Pacific Railroads, with the exception of Portland. We would note that Portland currently receives a benefit in the tariff. To support the NWSA's support of the Inland Rail Hub Strategic Initiative, ramp locations in Minot, North Dakota, Pocatello, Idaho, Millersburg, Oregon, and Wallula, Washington have been called out specifically as eligible for the program. The maximum reimbursement for any single participating carrier could not exceed 15% of the authorized funds available, and that at the current request of $8 million would equate to approximately $1.2 million. The suggested term of the program is May 1, 2024 through April 30th of 2025. And in Q1 of 2025, staff would update the managing members on the status of the program and may seek authorization to extend the program into future years. Staff proposes a 12-month measurement period and payout period. In terms of eligibility, the program would be open to all international ocean carriers in good financial standing with the Seaport Alliance, meaning they are current on financial accounts as defined by the Alliance in the Associated Participation Agreement. The ocean carrier is required to enter into a participation agreement, which outlines program eligibility requirements and other program details. So with that, I'd like to turn it over to John Tullis to explain the next program.
Good afternoon, commissioners. I'm John Tullis, Senior Manager of Business Development with the Alliance. I'm here to provide details for the Voyage Consistency and On-Time Arrival Award program. So I'm going to first run through on this slide the program summary. This will be a performance award program to encourage international container service voyage consistency and on-time performance. The top three performing carriers whose service levels meet the eligibility criteria would receive public recognition at our annual North Star Award ceremony, and they may qualify for a cash award. The Northwest Seaport Alliance, we would make $1 million available to incentivize participation for year one of the program. Staff recommends that the program award $500,000 for first place, $300,000 for second place, and $200,000 for third place to the top three carriers that meet or exceed eligibility requirements for the cash award. The proposed 52-week period would start with port week 18 on a Seaport Alliance pro forma arrival basis, and then end port week 17 on a pro forma arrival basis. The timing of these weeks align with the months May 2024 through April 2025. Staff would update managing members on the status of the program and may seek authorization to extend the program into future years. Next, these are the proposed eligibility requirements. An ocean carrier would be eligible for this program if it meets or exceeds the following performance standards: a maximum of four void sailings, also known as a blank sailing, for weekly services or two void sailings for fortnightly services in the designated 52-week period, and a maximum 24-hour average delay over the same 52-week period versus the service's pro forma ETA. Both weekly and fortnightly international services are eligible. Ocean carriers must meet the service requirements to be eligible for a cash reward award. The Alliance would not be required to provide the award if carriers do not meet the required criteria. The program would be open to all international ocean carriers in good financial standing with the Alliance, and the ocean carrier is required to enter into the NWSA's enrollment agreement that outlines the program eligibility, requirements, and other program details. Now I'm going to turn it over to Jeff Bellerud.
Thanks, John, and good afternoon, commissioners. As we've discussed, truckers need better service in our harbor. Customers that choose to use our gateway, we need to provide a consistent and reliable service both for importers and exporters calling our harbors, both north and south. So what we've proposed here is a $1 million ask to fund a program offering extended gates. We are a harbor that has moved beyond the need for just Monday through Friday day gates at some terminals. There are other terminals that are underutilized that are offering less than the 5-day Monday through Friday that we've requested. So what we're putting on the table here is a program that offers a baseline level of Monday through Friday day gates for all marine terminals in both the North and South Harbor, as well as funding for terminals that have moved beyond the Monday through Friday day gate need, offering a hoot shift or a night gate or a possible weekend gate, offering a more consistent turn time for both importers and exports calling the harbor. What we've called right now an extended gate hours program, we'll come up with a better name in the future, is really what we see is needed for a best-in-class service offering within the gateway. Going forward, we're meeting with all marine terminal operators actually this week to talk about some of the fundamentals. We will establish a committee that we will lead as the Alliance staff with labor, with marine terminal operators, with truckers, and with BCOs to come up with the working rules around the gate program as we mature out the program. So as discussed, it is a $1 million ask at this time. Any questions?
I think we're gonna go
through. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Questions?
We were just gonna complete the presentation, but then we'll be happy to answer questions. In terms of the financial portion, David Morrison was going to speak to that.
Hello, commissioners. None of the four wanted to talk the financial, so they brought me up to go to bat at this one. It's a complicated issue, as you know, as a joint venture, the two home ports and the Alliance and how we work together financially. But in terms of the source of funds, we're looking for either Water Resource Development Act Section 2106 funds or harbor maintenance tax funds that will be received by the two home ports, about $20 million approximately each, between 3 and 20, depending on if we get the full harbor maintenance tax. And normally the funds that are received by the two home ports for these from these two sources are used to fund harbor maintenance tax eligible projects within the Northwest Seaport Alliance. So the two home ports are getting this money between $6 million and $40 million in total, and those will be the source of funds indirectly. The financial impact to the Alliance, of course, is that we're going to use $10 million of our operating funds, including $2 million that we would have paid Tacoma Rail for the lease of the South Intermodal Yard. But in partnership with the Alliance, the Tacoma Rail has not charged us the lease rates for the SIM as long as we use those funds for intermodal incentives in the South Harbor. So those, it's either our operating cash and the Tacoma Rail funds that will be used to fund the $10 million of incentive programs. And again, this will then, the two home ports will use the WERDA HMT funds to fund the NWSA capital projects, and the NWSA will use our operating cash to fund this incentive program. In terms of the budget, we had budgeted in 24, 25, 26, and 27, 28, all 5 years of the budget, $3 million a year in rail incentives, and we had not contemplated at that time a gate or on-time performance programs. With this rail incentive, it is expected to retain the current rail volume, but I cannot tell you that it's going to drive additional cargo revenue because of minimum annual guarantees in most of our intermodal yards. So, but assuming the total incentive payment for these programs achieves the full $10 million, so $8 million for the rail incentive, $1 million for the gate, and $1 million for the on-time arrival, you could see a $7 million variance in a budget based on timing in any one given year. So $10 million minus the $3 million that I budgeted in a particular year, you could see a $7 million unbudgeted expense. And, of course, you won't see the harbor maintenance tax on the Northwest Seaport Alliance's profit and loss statement. You'll have that on your two home ports statement. Next slide, please.
So to conclude the presentation, again, the action requested this afternoon is that managing members authorize three cargo incentive programs and approve funding for each of those programs at the levels identified, $8 million for the rail cargo incentive, $1 million for the voyage consistency and on-time arrival program, and $1 million for the expanded gate hours program. And we are happy to try and answer any questions.
I call for a motion with regards to this action item.
Also move.
Second.
It was been moved by Commissioner McCarthy and seconded by Commissioner Fellman. Questions, comments? Commissioner Fellman.
Thank you for that and very creative solutions. We need to be thinking out of the box. Thinking out of the box and speaking into the mic at this time. So anyway, I'd like three quick questions. One is, that is the 6 a.m. gate opening, would this be eligible for this?
The double flex is a great option. We need to work with the marine terminal operators on what that looks like, and is there a preference to do the double flex over a hoot or one of the other options? But it is an absolute option as we progress in the extended gate.
Well, I think the idea of trying to deconflict with traffic is a particularly good thing to incentivize, and so I definitely support Matt's suggestion there. Frequency of monitoring, obviously we pay out at the end of the year, but we got to know whether we're running out of money along the way. Is there, how often is that monitored and how often will commissioners know about it?
Yes, great question. We intend to internally create a monthly report that would track activity of both the rail incentive and the on-time performance, and then we would publish to the participants a report quarterly. So, yes, we would have frequent and regular updates on the status.
Great. And last, for this 24-hour mean delay, I raised this before. I'm not quite sure, you know, averages are difficult things. But, you know, my concern is we want to incentivize vessels not to be speeding up when they're in the internal waters. So I'm just wondering in terms of we want to create incentives for vessels to actually slow down. So it's really about voyage planning so that we deconflict with our marine life. And so I'm just wondering how would we be able to, we need to do AIS tracking. We just care that they show up at the dock within a window, but the transit speed is something that's going to be looked at least during the fall to winter months through that segment of Admiralty Inlet to Whidbey Island.
Yeah, I can start, and then John, if you have additional information. One, I would just point out that we're actually, the weighted criteria is more on the voyage consistency. So we will weigh it heavier on ships that have fewer voids over the on-time performance. And ocean carriers are, you know, what we've been hearing from the ocean carrier community is they're trying to set up their performer schedule so they don't have to speed up. so that they allow enough slack time, if you will, so they are on time. And to be honest, at this dollar amount, I don't think it would be enough to incentivize a ship. They could in theory burn more fuel trying to arrive than they would be eligible for. But I'll let John if you have anything additional.
To Steve's point, I think one of the big drivers of this award program is to influence ocean carriers to make long-term programmatic change to their pro forma schedules. So they build in that buffer, whereas now, constantly having to adjust, slide, speed up. Hopefully this will demonstrate that the Alliance is serious about on-time reliability and all the landside implications it has to it, and then, as Steve said, build in that buffer to those schedules.
I thank you for that. Appreciate you.
Commissioner Marzano.
Yes, thank you. First of all, I fully support this. As you all know, can you hear me? Yeah, as you all know, we have challenges and hurdles in our gateway to overcome that other ports don't have to. With regards to the gate operation, I like the fact that we're having an oversight committee that would look at this and monitor it as it goes, because I'd be concerned about, for example, a terminal that doesn't operate 5 days a week. I want to make sure they operate 5 days a week and not utilize a hoot owl to get the money and then be closed on a Friday. So that's something I want to make sure, you know, we monitor and keep close track on. I think based on the past practices that we had with the other incentive program where we ran out of money too soon, I hope you have to come back and ask for more, because we're trying to get more volume through this. And then in turn, we'll be looking to our brothers and sisters in the ILWU, making sure they can do the professional job on the terminal, which we all know they can do, to incentivize moving more cargo through our ports. Thank you.
Commissioner Keller.
Great, thank you. Thank you for this. I think it's a wonderful opportunity for us. And we heard at TPM, at various ocean carriers, we're excited about these incentive programs, are excited to use it. And I think it's gonna be great. And especially with the 5 day a week, gate opening, it's a brilliant idea. I know we're going in a little bit, $1 million is not a huge amount of money, but at least it gives us an opportunity to see if that's gonna be a good incentive. So I'm really happy about that. I am also happy to hear that we're going to make sure that they are in good standing as well as current on their bills, and very happy about that. The other piece that I would like to see is, I know you're going to be giving quarterly reports, but I think it would be important for us probably sometime January 2025, where we do an annual report of how, what percentage did this increase our volume. And I know that this is going to help us become best in class. I think sometimes you have to throw money at things to get things. So this is one of those areas. But, and I guess that lands in David Morrison's lap on that one. But I know that you're really good at that. But it would be important information for us to see if these incentives are really working and by how much. Thank you.
Commissioner Muhammad and Commissioner Meyer.
Thank you. I also really like the extended gate hour program. I look forward to a new name that's a little more catchier than that. And I like the fact that we have a dollar amount that we're earmarking or allocating, that $1 million amount. Just recognizing that our trucking community is such an important part of our ecosystem, and also recognizing the economic loss that they take on when it comes to dwell times, when it comes to them being able to schedule an appointment and then, not being able to pick up their whatever load that they have, and how that also impacts whatever company that they're also working with. And so I think this is a great way for us to recognize that economic loss that they're taking. And so my question actually is, and maybe it's for the commissioners to wrestle with, why just $1 million? Is this something that we should be discussing today? To up it from 1 million to 2 million. I've heard 2 million discussed at this table and other spaces. And so is that something that we should be considering today, or is that something that you all as staff will be coming back to us to be able to make a decision on at a later time?
The more the merrier. We can certainly have that conversation today. We earmarked 1 million as an opportunity to roll out the program, show its value, be able to offer gates, extended gates, or guaranteed 5 day gates with little impact, financial impact to the trucking community. Really the question is that 3 months enough time to proof out the concept and show its value? or do we extend, ask for additional funds and extend that period of free time or reduced additional cost?
And with that, when you say more the merrier, are we talking within that $10 million that consideration could come before the commissioners, or are you saying additional dollars would be required?
I would say additional dollars are going to be required. We've discussed internally, and we want to make sure that we're driving intermodal traffic through the gateway and don't want to deteriorate from the original request beyond what we have done today, holding firm at the $8 million. So additional money for the gates would come with an additional ask.
I would propose to my colleagues then that we consider moving it from $1 million to $2 million. And I don't know if I need to call a vote for that, or you got thoughts before that?
Well, sure. Yeah.
I'll go with Commissioner Meyer, and then I'll go with Commissioner McCarthy.
Yeah.
I still have additional questions as well.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead, Commissioner
Okay.
Meyer, and then we'll
come If
back.
That was a motion, I'll second it.
Is that a motion?
Yeah, I mean, point of order. What is the process for that?
If you're looking to... Are you looking to amend the amount in subpart 3 to $2 million?
That's correct.
And you should move to amend.
You should make the motion.
There you go. I move to amend the amount from $1 million to $2 million.
And for part 3 of the expanded gate hours program. Is that right?
That's correct.
I second the motion.
Yeah. Speaking against that motion, you know, this has been a well thought out program, and I was about ready to congratulate your team for going over this with us for a long, long time. As we wrestled through this, it gave me additional confidence in your advocacy and your knowledge, and made me very supportive. Also, I'm really impressed with the fact that you were nimbly, just since we had a retreat last week, to move forward based on our discussions to the GATE program. And I think it is very wise. You're moving cautiously, even though this is a lot of money. And I like that cautious approach. And you're recognizing that we need to further develop, like the Gateway program, we need to see how this goes. So I'm very supportive of this program. Not that it might not make sense at some point in time to add additional funds to add $1 million just at our meeting without any advance discussion. I think it's problematic and not necessarily necessary or the wisest thing to do. So I would vote against the motion to amend to add $1 million at this late date.
Commissioner Meyer?
Yes, thank you. I hope it's okay with co-chair. I need to ask a question before I can determine of Jeff, before I can determine whether or not I support.
Go ask a question.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Okay. Jeff, the whole concept of, as I understood it, is on the expanded gate program, is that this was an initial effort for us to get something up and running to speak to. We've heard public comment here repeatedly. We've heard nothing but complaints from a variety of sources. And what I like about the expanded gate hour program is I thought we were trying to stand up and tell our community this is a priority, number one. Number two, that we wanted to invest in this game. But number three, we need to look at a long-term financing program for this effort. Am I correct?
That is correct.
Okay.
There will be a funding requirement, whether that's driven by NWSA funds or from an appointment fee like is seen in other gateways. That is still what's in discussion.
Okay, thank you. So I will support this amendment. And the reason I support this amendment is I think it gives our team a little more time to phase in a longer-term strategy for the funding. I'll be opposed to any additional funding unless there's that conversation with the community to say, here's the long-term program. So I will support this amendment, but it's on the basis that my expectation is you're going to figure out a program that provides long-term funding. I like this priority. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other comments or questions on this amendment?
One more. Thank you. I think the also the purpose of this is, and I agree with you, Commissioner Meyer, you know, we want a long-term strategy, but I'm hoping that what happens out of this is that with the gates being open 5 days a week, we have more business, and so we don't need to do an incentive program anymore, right? So that's to get this up and running. So that's why I'm going to support this, because that's, you have to leave your doors open to get business. You don't close them down because you don't have any. That's a, you know, a recipe for bankruptcy or disaster. So this is a great program, and I'm very supportive of adding the extra $1 million for this.
Commissioner Fellman.
Yeah, thank you. One of the things I like about the program is that you don't pay unless they play. So there's no really risk of money and likelihood. If it's working, we would just authorize more funding anyway. But the concern I have is how this additional fee is going to be passed on to the drivers and what you have in place to monitor that and to address that proactively before we start shoveling more money into it.
Yeah, and really this is what the steering committee is going to be. We're going to have folks from all facets of the supply chain on a committee determining, is there a need for a fee? What is that fee? What is the audit structure to ensure that that fee is accurate if we go down that model? So there's going to be checks and balances along the way to ensure exactly what you're saying. We want this to be successful. We want this to be transparent and a value add for the trucking community and for the Gateway as a whole, not a detractor.
And because we also heard, like, from the rail that they'll be real excited about matching us if we put something up, but in the vaguest of ways. So the idea of some sort of auditing, monitoring, as you come back to us with reporting on utilization, we'll be having some insight into these not-so-trivial ancillary aspects, right?
Yes, sir.
Great.
Any other questions from commissioners?
I see Commissioner Marzano's hand.
Oh, she is.
Just very quickly on the amendment, I can reluctantly agree. And the reason I say reluctantly is I know you're going to need more time to really see how this thing works. But I want to be making sure that we're aware of how things are progressing, because I don't want to see terminals abusing this program. This is an avenue and an opportunity for not only to help them, but also to help the trucking community with regards to more assurances that they'll be able to make some turns and the terminals will be open. And I would also look at what the one of our public speakers, Eric, had made a comment about appointments, that when they're showing up for appointments and they're within that time frame and they're not being addressed or taken care of, we got a problem. So I would make sure that we look into that aspect of it too.
Understood, and I agree wholeheartedly.
My comment in particular, as I do support this amendment, just simply to show that we are serious about expanding gateway hours 5 days a week. However, I also have some reservations with regards to what Commissioner Marzano said, that this be designed very strategically, that this is a strategic incentive and not money going down the drain, and that I'm putting a lot of trust in the steering committee because I know you know what you're doing. But I do want it to make it out there in the market that we're going to do what it takes and do the strategic investments, work with our partners, labor partners, trucking partners, terminal operators to get this gateway into best in class. And we're willing to spend money. I think that's what the message is we're ready to go and we're ready to see what we can do. And if people have some ideas, we're going to implement them.
May I have a point of order question, if I could?
Sure.
So the agenda that we've posted and these folks have spoke to was to commit $10 million. And I know emotions can run high and people get excited, but we're an amendment now to spend $11 million is something that hasn't been published. No advance notification. So in terms of my point of order, number one, I don't think it's a good business way to proceed, but I think are we allowed under our rules of order to amend to spend $1 million at a minute's notice like that?
This is a regular meeting, and it's a motion squarely on the floor, so it could occur if the commissioners vote for it.
Are there any other? Okay, Commissioner Mohammed.
Here's the other thing. I don't think it's problematic because we're not spending this money up front. Instead, we'll be able to track the progress. So I think the question that we should be asking, if there's another amendment that anyone would like to bring up at a later time, is when will we get an update on that track, us tracking that progress that is being made, so that commissioners can have another opportunity to make other suggestions if needed?
Yeah, we can provide step-by-step, meeting-by-meeting updates on where we are, how we're tracking the funds, what the audit situation looks like, what the committee's recommendations are. So we can set up a cadence of meetings, whether it's monthly or quarterly, to give that update and assurance to the committee.
And it's well within the commission's authority to end a pilot program if it's not working, right?
Yes.
Thank you.
Commissioner Meyer.
Yes. And Jeff, I hope in that update, it also speaks a little bit to the point that Commissioner Marzano was talking about, because I think he's spot on. Let's make certain that the appointment system is actually working the way it's intended to be. So we want that as well. Thank you.
Seeing no other questions or comments, the motion has been moved by Commissioner Mohammed and seconded by Commissioner Hasegawa. All those in favor? To amend. Yes. We are voting on a motion to an amendment with regards to adding $1 million to the expanded gate hours program. We are increasing that to $2 million. That is the motion amendment. All those in favor to the amendment, say aye.
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 Any opposed?
Yes, I oppose.
Okay. The motion, the amendment, the amendment carries.
Now you have to vote on the motion.
Is there any questions or comments on the motion as amended? Seeing none, all those in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you, Commissioner. If I had known that, I would have asked for more on the second one.
Well, you know, Tom, we listen to you, so let us know what you need.
I have to say one more thing. The Voyage Consistency on Time Arrival Award or incentive program, I'm a true believer in that, as that gets to the root cause of all issues on the land side. So don't be surprised. We'll come back, ask for $10 million.
All right, well, go. Point of privilege for Commissioner Mohammed. She does have a question for you since you brought that up.
Thank you, Tong. I did have an additional question, and because I brought an amendment on the floor. I skipped that question, but I wanted to know, maybe as part of you guys' progress report that you'll be providing, will you be able to share a breakdown on just the prediction on how this incentive program will impact the South and the North Harbor and the benefit of it?
Absolutely. We certainly have been tracking that, even the previous incentive program, but moving forward, we'll continue to track that. We will show you the breakdown of per harbor.
Is there any predictions that you guys have at this time?
I hesitate to predict at this juncture, but happy to share the past performance if that's helpful.
That would be. Thank you.
Okay.
And Tong, when you're winning, you should know when to leave. You know, I just want to let you know that.
Please pass that information to all commissioners. Thank you. Now we're down to 9C.
Okay, commissioners, our last action item today is item 9C, interlocal agreement between the Alliance, the Port of Seattle, and Port of Tacoma for an economic impact analysis. We wanted to note that this topic involves a request for dual action by the managing members and the home ports. As a reminder, dual actions are provided for in Alliance bylaws at Article 2, Section 4. Here, commissioners of both home ports will be acting in a dual role, one on behalf of the Alliance, managing members, and simultaneously on behalf of their Homeport Commission. Our presenter for this item is Deirdre Wilson, Senior Manager Planning.
Got it? Okay, thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Deirdre Wilson, Senior Planning Manager with the Northwest Seaport Alliance. And I'll be here presenting on the economic impact analysis and then the following item for the grants update also. For this item, as Dana mentioned, this is a project that's involving the Northwest Seaport Alliance and both Port of Seattle and Port of Tacoma. I have a combined statement that I'll read for the action here to request the managing members to authorize the Alliance CEO or his delegate and the Port of Seattle and Port of Tacoma commissioners to authorize their respective executive directors or their delegates to enter into the interlocal agreement between the Port of Seattle, Port of Tacoma, and the Northwest Seaport Alliance regarding an economic impact analysis in substantially the same form as presented today. So this is actually something, it's actually really exciting. It's not something that we talk about very often, but the information that will be generated is something that gets used on almost a daily basis. It's information that you'll see on our websites. There were some examples included in your packet. Right now, the three entities have information that is 6 to 10 years old, and it's not reliable information at this point to use in the many forms of communication that we use it for. I'm sure many of you have referenced it in meetings that you're in as far as our economic impact. We use it in our finance department as well as government affairs, communications, and as I said, we have this on our website. We use it in legislative conversations also. The lines of business for this project, we've never done this before. So as you're aware, the Alliance is a fairly new entity, and there was an update in 2019 that included all lines of business except for the airport. This time, the airport is included. So this is all lines of business for the three entities. It's been taking a little bit to rally everyone in the different entities together on what we need to see out of this effort, but we've been working together closely on the data that we'll need to support those different communications. We also have a new element that's being proposed this time for equity impacts. We're not quite sure what the consultants will be able to provide for us in this regard, and so it's written in as something that we'd like to explore, and then the next time around maybe be able to refine that even further depending on what we're able to do this time. So I have an amendment that I will read here for the interlocal agreement that is about the cost and payment. So the Port of Tacoma will be managing the contracting, and this interlocal agreement will informs the amount of money each of the different entities will contribute to this project. We don't anticipate this project taking more than $300,000, and actually we expect it to cost around $200,000. Each of the entities have allocated a certain amount in their budget. So Port of Tacoma has $50,000, Port of Seattle has allocated $150,000, and the Northwest Seaport Alliance $50,000. In writing the ILA, we have an error in there that shows that the allocation will be charged to each entity equally. And so I'm going to read what we would like to propose for that language. That the parties would propose a replacement for paragraph 4 in the interlocal agreement. The parties will each contribute staff time and will contribute their proportionate cost of consultant support as follows. Port of Tacoma, 20%, Northwest Seaport Alliance, 20%, and the Port of Seattle, 60%, based on the anticipated additional data provided analysis requested by the Port of Seattle. The total cost of consultant may not exceed $300,000. And we just wanted to give you those brackets for the $300,000 while our information from interviews we did of people who provide this service, they felt like they would be able to do this for $200,000. Juliet does have that revised language for this project. So the alternatives that were considered were individual line of business and agency economic impact analysis updates, and we found that that would cost more money and that there are overlapping land uses. And we feel from a staff perspective that this is just a really good example of collaboration on something that we all share, which is our economic investment in our region. We expect that the project would be concluded by the end of 2024. So I'm going to reread the combined action statement, which is to request the managing members to authorize the Alliance CEO or his delegate and the Port of Seattle and Port of Tacoma commissioners to authorize their respective executive directors or their delegates to enter into the interlocal agreement between the Port of Seattle, Port of Tacoma, and the Northwest Seaport Alliance regarding an economic impact analysis in substantially the same form as presented today. And I'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
When considering dual actions, our practice is to call
for a motion and second from the home port commission being asked to act in a dual role. In this case, it's both home ports, so I'll call first for a motion and second from Port of Seattle commissioners acting on behalf of their home port and the Alliance, and then the same for the Port of Tacoma. Then following discussion, we can take a single combined vote by show of hands for all three entities. So do I have a motion and second from Port of Seattle commissioners?
So moved.
Second.
It has been moved by Commissioner Fellman and seconded by Commissioner Muhammad. Do I have a motion and second from Port of Tacoma commissioners?
I move we adopt the motion.
Okay.
Second.
It has been moved by Commissioner Meyer and seconded by Commissioner Keller. We are now at discussion. Any questions or comments?
Commissioner Fellman.
Why is the Port of Seattle 150? Is that because of the airport? Or is this just the maritime side?
I don't have any visibility into why the different entities budgeted a certain amount. I'm just stating in here what is in the budget to cover this work, which we feel like is enough to cover the consultant fees for the services.
So Port of Seattle staff reviewed this and said this is appropriate.
Absolutely, yes. We've been coordinating closely with the home port staff, yes.
But, and just to clear, this is only maritime?
This is all lines of business.
So hence
it's cruise, airport, maritime, yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Commissioner Meyer.
Yes, I just want to be clear in terms of the motion. Are you asking for 200,000 or? I just want to be clear about what you're asking for on the money side, because is it 200,000 you're asking for, or is it 300,000?
So we're not asking for any money. The money has already been budgeted. The request is for an interlocal agreement for each of the entities to contribute to the project, which is a joint venture for the economic impact analysis.
But you stated.
And there is a paragraph that identifies the payment.
But you stated that you thought the cost would be 200,000.
Correct, based on
rather than the write-up of 300,000.
The amount that is listed, the 50, 150, and 50, is what's in each of the budgets, and we just wanted to make sure that it was clear that we don't anticipate, even if it costs us more because we don't have the consultant on board yet, that we would not be going over 300,000.
Okay. Could I ask another follow-up question? One of the things, you know, the Seaport Alliance is basically a management agreement over the assets, both at the North Harbor and the South Harbor. But I have to say, as a commissioner at the Port of Tacoma, as well as a managing member, that I'm interested in economic impact data for South Harbor. So how in the structure here am I going to be able to say, yep, I understand the impact both in the harbor that I represent, as well as the bigger picture. So how are you going to structure that information? Because to me, one of the questions we get all the time is the impact of our in our community of the Port of Tacoma, as an example. I'm sure Port of Seattle commissioners get asked the same thing and have to be prepared to justify it. So how are you going to present the data so that I find it useful as an elected
member of this body to represent the people that vote for me.
Yeah, so there'll be a final source document, and the request that we put together with the different teams of the different entities, the three ports, there is a section that will be for each line of business. We will have regional impacts, and then we will also have the home port, the South Harbor, and the North Harbor impacts separately as well, so that those can be taken out. Oftentimes, there are one-pager information that's available on each of the websites, and this information will be structured in such a way that those communication teams will be able to draw that from this document.
Excellent. Thank you.
Okay. Seeing no other questions or comments, I call for the vote. All
show
those.
Of hands.
Oh, is this a show of hands or is this a?
Yeah.
Let's see. The motions before the men are. Okay. All those in favor, please raise your hand and leave it raised until counted. And Commissioner Haas. And a vocal vote for those online.
Aye.
We see the invisible hand. All those opposed, I see none. The motion carries.
Thank you.
And now we go to the grants briefings.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Deirdre.
You bet. All right. So again, Deirdre Wilson here with the Northwest Seaport Alliance Planning Department for the regular meeting grants update. Cassandra is not here today. She's working on grant applications. So this, as I was just talking about data being stale, this material was prepared about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and given the nature of the dynamics that are happening in our grant applications right now, this information is a bit stale. So I will try to correct information as we go along here. So as you remember, our objective is to share awareness of what we're doing in the grant program for the Alliance and the home ports. Today's presentation, we have updates. We have some information on PIDP, Clean Ports, PSRC, the Regional Council process, and then what we're looking for moving ahead. We did a support letter for the City of Tacoma regarding a raised grant application to support the design for a section of the Fishing Wars Memorial Bridge, which, as you all, I hope, are aware that it's closed. We submitted our application just last week for the Climate Pollution Reduction Grants Program. The Northwest Seaport Alliance is a subrecipient of one of 10, but represents about one quarter of the ask for that program, so about $50 million. Really tiny print here, but that's probably good because this is one of the slides that has shifted since this was published. The Port Infrastructure Development Program, which we're familiar with, we've been very successful with different terminal projects. This year, we're looking at Pierce County Terminal, and the list here originally included Wapato Creek Culvert and Shore Power, which have been removed as a result of legislative conversations that took place in D.C., which we got information that we would be better served by having things that qualified for other grant opportunities moved over or not included in the PIDP request. The culvert has been a part of about three other grant applications, and Shore Power will be included in Clean Ports. So this application will be the LED lighting conversion, reefer racks, and then most recently a request from Commercial and Operations to include pavement of a transfer zone area on the terminal. So it'll have three components. And then the other big grant that we're working on right now is Clean Ports. There is a meeting that follows this meeting today of the Environmental Work Group. Well, you'll be working to refine this list, and the plan right now is for this to be a joint application between the Northwest Seaport Alliance, Port of Seattle, and Port of Tacoma, focusing on shore power cargo handling equipment and drayage trucks. and we are approaching the maximum $500 million request for this application with all of the different variety of projects that the different entities are proposing. So PSRC has a program for regional monies. It's an happens every other year. We have an application that we're working on for the Pierce County or the Port Community System, which was presented to you a couple of months ago at the February 6th public meeting. That was explained. We'll be submitting a request for $1.5 million as a part of the Pierce County regional application process. And looking ahead, we have the RTPEF, or RTEPF, and PROTECT, as well as the NOAA transformative grants that we're waiting for decisions to be made on whether or not we were successful in those applications. And this says that CRISI NOFO is pending, but that actually came out last week, and we do plan to pursue the loop track on Terminal 18, as well as the arrival and departure tracks in Tacoma for a CRISI grants application, which is due in May. And I guess I'll hold there if there are any questions that I can answer.
Commissioner Feldman.
Hi, thank you for that. It's always fun to see new money coming in. So I just didn't know the total for the PDIP grant would be the down to $38 million plus whatever the pavement is. That's a new cost?
Yeah, right now we have a project cost of $43 million, and staff's been directed to work on an ask of 50%, so that would be $21.5 million.
Okay, that's good to know. And we could be asking for up to 80%, or is that just
we
for
the
clean?
We could be asking for up to 80%, yes, and the more we ask, the lower our score is when they go through the scoring process.
So I think this is prudent and definitely following the guidance Senator Murray gave to us. So on the clean ports side of things, there's one of the questions I had was just in terms of for the SSA zero emission cargo handling project, I assume that's a North Harbor thing, or are we talking about Matson for the $61 million ask?
I don't know. I'll have to phone a friend here and see. Did you want to answer?
It's a North Harbor project. And then the zero-emission drayage demonstration project, the original question I had for that was associated with, like, so, you know, infrastructure is so expensive and it makes it fixed someplace, and it says charging at a port-owned site. But I thought the clever solution was that it was going to be a mobile facility that we would then be able to park at a port site, or has there a decision made to make some hard infrastructure?
Thank you. Good afternoon, Commissioners. Jason Jordan, Director of Environmental Planning. A couple thoughts. So we don't have all the answers. There could be a combo. We certainly not precluding doing it at a port facility or even at a marine terminal operator or a leased licensed facility. Also, ideas about going out to the private sector, and it's not an or, and mobile in terms of piloting. One thing I wanted to clarify, Deirdre did a great job with both those presentations. Today, we are going to dig into the zero emission truck program, and we can highlight some of those opportunities with the environmental work group right after this meeting. But for clean ports, commissioners, we're working with Leilani to get something scheduled in the next couple weeks where we'll ask the environmental work group to help us prioritize those clean port grants, and we can provide as much. We'll have a little bit more detail flushed out for what we're thinking with each of those.
Aren't the grants due at the end of April?
PIDP is mid-May, I think we heard today. May.
Oh, this zero emissions truck is under clean ports.
Yeah, and that's
May 28th.
May 28th.
Well, May 28th, so mm-hmm.
we have a little bit of time.
All right, last question then, because obviously the decision in terms of what port, what infrastructure, where, I mean, those decisions, informed by the truck collaborative? How is that deciding decision made?
All of the above. The Truck Collaborative is certainly giving guidance and ideas, and they're developing the roadmap that you'll hear more about this afternoon. Staff will be making some recommendations. We're talking to Homeport Real Estate and Seaport Alliance Real Estate, and then the Marine Terminal Operators as well. One of, you know, of the criteria that we're considering is we want it to be equitable. You've made this very clear in both harbors. And we want it to work for, in this case, we want it to work for the trucking community.
Right. All right. Well, that's great. And I'm, if you can just bear with me. The Crowley Hybrid Tug / Tacoma Grain Terminal, you're talking about locomotives, tugboats, and charging. I mean, it seems like three different things. I mean, is that at least the hybrid tug and the grain terminal, are they related?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And a lot of work to do, and we haven't dialed this one in completely, so we're going to take as much time as we possibly can to work with Port of Tacoma and that tenant. But the concept there, excuse me, commissioners, is that electric engine for the switching of the grain, a hybrid tug, there's some safety concerns around having an all-electric tug, but that they might share the same charging infrastructure. So it's a really cool concept. So we're viewing it as one combo package.
But the tug wouldn't be limited to the grain terminal.
Oh,
it's
no.
Not that busy.
No, no. But
all
it
right.
could
so
charge
So the
there.
Infrastructure would be put at the grain terminal so that the tug had a place to charge.
And conceptually, yes. But we're still working through all that.
All right, last but not least, I've heard all sorts of questions about, you know, the amount of money being spent on the collaborative as just being a collection of people talking, and it was like over like $400,000. We're asking for $1 million to continue the conversation.
Yeah, so you'll hear more about that, and Steve and I were just chatting about that a little bit. So keep in mind that a little of that money goes to staff. We have hired a facilitator to manage that group. And so this year, the idea is to get to that roadmap that we've described from the collaborative. And then that additional $1 million, if we go down that path, and the work group will have a chance to opine on that, would be to support implementation of that roadmap.
Okay. Seems like the roadmap has to lead to the bank, but I will leave it at that. Thank you.
Commissioner Meyer. Thank you. I don't know, maybe Jason, you can answer the question I have, and that is, when I look at this list under clean ports, one of the things that I've always struggled with is, as an example, in the South Intermodal Yard, we started this conversion of actually diesel trucks to electric. I thought it was fantastic in terms of the yard handlers. So why, in this list, why aren't we focusing on the completion of what we started? Instead of saying demonstration here, demonstration there, how about if we get actually one place that's actually absolutely, you know, free carbon emissions? So,
yeah.
Is this something that is embedded in one of these listings here, or
help me understand? It's a fair question and arguably critique. So, at the SIM, we had a customer that came to us, and so it was a great partnership. They'd actually been doing something very similar in an operation in Southern California, so they had familiarity with it. So I would argue, commissioners, that they were slightly out in front of our pilot demonstrations, which is really cool because effectively they became a demonstration for the rest of the gateway. But that was a customer coming to us. Unfortunately, in the environment we are in today, our tenants, our customers are interested, but they're not necessarily knocking down our door like that terminal, that operator was saying they're ready to do it. So there is still an element of demonstration and bringing it forward, testing the technology, whether it's cargo handling, trucks, all that. But when we, I understand your frustration. As part of our deployment package, we agree that it would be really cool to say, hey, that terminal is completely electrified, as an example. But we want to be very careful not to exclude someone that wants to dip their toes into it as well and not have any money for them. So we're trying to find that right balance, and it takes a willing dance partner. And hopefully as we get this grant funding, commissioners, we'll bring so much money to the table that economically it will just make a ton of sense because we know it already makes a lot of environmental sense.
All I'm saying is you have a, we have a sole source contractor that's been in place since that place started. And I think it's time that maybe somebody talks to them about let's complete this package. So anyway, I guess more later, but I want to make certain we get to actual implementation, full implementation, at least on one of these projects. Thank you.
Commissioner Keller.
Thank you. Thank you for all the work that you do. I think you know how much we love OPM, other people's monies. And I think it's important to note that you've already done a lot of state grant funding for a lot of these programs, which helped Commissioner Fellman and myself when we were in Washington, D.C., to be able to say, hey, we already have some funding, which makes it more attractive for the federal government to get that to us. And I think in terms of the Fish Culvert, the reason that we talked with our legislators, representatives, and senators, I just want to remind people that we received one of the largest PIDP grant in the country, and they're still suffering from other Washington ports saying, why'd you give it to them? But, you know, we said we want some of that money again, but we felt a little guilty, especially if we could put Fish Culverts into some other areas, and they're helping us source that as well. So that was a purpose for that. But thanks for all the work you do. It's been great. It makes it easy for us to be able to go begging and dialing for dollars.
It's a really cool point, and if I could just add to that, not just the culvert, but also shore power. But what's really nice about the federal grants, to your point, Commissioner Keller, is we can use state funding as the local match, or as part of the local match, and so that's a huge benefit. So thank you.
Just some comments and questions. Comments first is that I would like to see our grants expanded. I think we have a very successful grants team, and we've secured quite a number of grants, and our public and community always asks us about grants and in expanding our partnerships with regards to tribes, our inland rail partners, anything we can do to build out the infrastructure within our gateway and even outside, because that also makes us competitive. A couple questions I have is with regards to the mega grants, did Fishing Wars Memorial Bridge or City of Tacoma ever apply for that with regards to the bridge, or if that even is a grant for that particular project? And the second question is, have we reviewed the concept of Justice 40 and how competitive we are on that? Because that is a lens that this particular administration and the grants process has put higher importance on, and how we benefit our entire community and not just particularly the usual stakeholders that we put on.
Yeah, so thank you for that question, Commissioner Eng. The City of Tacoma is working on getting design money for the Fishing Wars Memorial Bridge, and until they have a design ready, they can't apply for those bigger, you know, pots of money like Mega. And we too are not in a position with our bigger projects to apply this year, but we'll be looking for potentially next year for some of our larger projects that we are queuing up that I think were, some of those were discussed at the retreat last week. So we are definitely trying to track that one, and we'll be looking for future opportunities. And then as far as Justice 40, Cassandra, I think, presented the last meeting or the one before. We, in the memo, there's quite a bit of information about the different requirements that we have. There are not particular grants that are slated for Justice 40. It's something that is a part of every application, and we have to answer those questions and explain how we are working toward those agenda items that the federal government has in those areas. And so it's a part of every application, and we get better at being able to answer those questions as our programs grow internally. And we have areas where we don't have attainment for different things that, you know, obviously money in our ports improves the wealth and, you know, access for those living in the communities nearby. And so it helps our application when we can tell that story.
The reason why I ask this is because grants are more competitive when they have that Justice 40 lens, and we do have a lot of organizations that we do have in contact with when we do these economic impact analysis. I do wonder, like, how do we affect low-income communities, mm-hmm. communities of color, those who have endured our pollution, not just from, you know, ports and our particular operations. I do feel that that actually increases our competitiveness, so any way that we can improve or be better than other ports, other applicants on that particular lens, the better that we are to receive these grants. And my last thing is, Have we taken a look at, I guess, military funding and earmarks, and is that a different process than one currently considered by the grants team? And would that consider, would that need a consultant, or is that within your particular capacities?
So two thoughts real quick on the military piece. We have had that conversation most recently with Ryan McFarlane, our head of government affairs. Preliminary analysis, that's more of a line item and a budget. And so we'd be working with our delegation and others that are inappropriate. That's less grant related. Mm-hmm. Not to say that we're we aren't a strategic location for JBLM. And so we'd definitely be looking, but the quick take on that is work with the congressional delegation and look for opportunities as a line item in a budget as opposed to a grant. My second point, though, Commissioner, you've been really gracious, and our grant team has done an amazing job, and I think they're leading the country when it comes to ports and getting grants. Give us a little space. Let us get through June before you loan us out to others, because this is a crazy grant season with PIDP and Clean Ports. But John Wolf, our CEO, and others have heard you say that there's some partnership opportunities, and we want to help. Just give us a few months.
I'll give you some chance to breathe and exercise, but then after June is done, it's full speed ahead for those mega grants, military earmarks, everything else. It's like, you're right. I'm going to not stop about this. But I'm so happy that the work you've done, and I feel like I'm rewarding you with more work. But, you know, the more successful you are, the more that people will ask. So the more that I will ask, because you have been very successful. So thank you so much. And now we are down to CEO announcements and commissioner comments. We got here.
I have no further announcements.
Commissioner Martano.
Just very quickly, I want to thank staff for their indulgence today on a longer meeting than normally we have because of the executive session. And Dana, thank you for stepping up and filling John's shoes.
Commissioner Keller.
Great, thank you. I want to give a shout out to Ryan McFarlane for doing such a great job of putting together all of our meetings with U.S. Representatives Kilmer, Del Bene, Jayapal, U.S. Army Corps of Engineers a couple weeks ago, Senators Murray and Cantwell, their staff members, to talk about all these grants and also the talking points for us. I think we had a really successful trip. I'm sure Commissioner Fellman will agree with that and really enjoyed it. It was a brief 2 days. My feet hurt for sure, walking from House building to House building, Senate building to Senate building. But thank you again, you and Emily, for doing all of that. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, I also wanted to thank staff around T-46. The Northwest Seaport Alliance Gateway has been seeing a lot of break bulk and automobile business coming here locally, and we're really excited in particular around the opening of T-46 for regular services. And so I wanted to thank the staff who worked hard on that, and also our ILW Local 19 partners, as well as PTSC. Thank you all for the work that you're doing around that, and we want to be able to see more business coming into our gateway, and I think we are taking some good steps forward. Thanks for the time.
Commissioner Fellman.
Was that PTSC or PTSD? Sorry, it's a long day. I just wanted to weigh in and support Commissioner Keller's comments about a great trip to DC is it goes smoothly. You know, that means it's all that planning went ahead, and that was huge. So thank you, Ryan and team, for really making that a pretty flawless experience. And also, I just want to say thank you to everybody who got the T5 shore power going. It was a big lift, I know, and a lot of people, a lot of hands made heavy work. All right, so thank you very much.
Yes, I would like to thank our staff. Thank you, Ryan, because I'll be with you again on Thursday with Senator Murray's staff. And thank our staff for accommodating us today. I'm going to make a comment that, you know, whatever time it takes or whatever how long it takes, these particular conversations, I'm gonna do it. I'm just gonna say that flat out. Like, I am not gonna ask anything of my staff that I won't do myself either. So if you have something to ask of us, the time, the presence to show up, we will do it too. So I think that's my comment for this year, is that we will be taking the time and we will get down to business and get it done. Thank you. Oh, and Commissioner Hasegawa, I almost forgot.
No, thank you, Madam Chair.
All right, the time is now 2:52 p.m. Thank you also to Commissioner Hasegawa. Really appreciate your presence today. Thank you.
Honored to be here. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Considering there would be no meeting without her.